You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 441, starting a new Candlekeep adventure. Recorded June 2022, posted March 2024. We're big readers here.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a dungeon master. I use he, him pronouns. Today, we are doing something very special. We are starting a new adventure. That's right. We are going to be starting the level 5 adventure called The Price of Beauty, written by Mark Holmes, developed and edited by Scott Fitzgerald Gray. This is from the Candlekeep Mysteries Collections of Adventures. Like many of the Candlekeep adventures, our adventure today will start in Candlekeep, in one of the grand reading rooms of Candlekeep Library, a place where a variety of adventurers, scholars, bards, and all kinds of assorted nerds come to seek knowledge, hang out between adventures, and, you know, just have some downtime from their weary treks on the road. And so we're in this grand reading room, huge vaulted ceilings, well lit, lots of sages and scholars around at big, long reading tables, quietly flipping through books. But in here, among the scholars and sages and the avowed, the monk-like librarians who maintain Candlekeep, are several adventures, some adventures that we'll remember from previous Total Party Kill adventures. Let me introduce the players. They will tell you who they are, and then we'll jump back into the exciting reading room action. First up, the one, the only, the Micah Sargent. Micah Sargent.
Me? I'm the one, the only? How nice, Tony. I play Ashguri Lone Walker Mako Tatahani, a Goliath paladin. He goes by Lone Walker for most folks. And both of us use he, him pronouns.
Next up, my friend Aline Sims. Hi, Aline.
Hey, I have a new character for Candlekeep. Jasper, the tabaxi monk. And we both use she, her pronouns.
Excellent. Thanks, Aline. Also joining us, it's Monty Ashley. Hi, Monty.
Hi, Tony. I'm playing Townley Mountain Taker, a human warlock who's devoted and in love with the Queen of Arid Darkness. She gave him magic eyes. We are both he, him.
Thanks, Monty. Next up, it's Annette Weirstra. Hi, Annette.
Hello, I am playing Valente. She is an Eldrin elven. So, and she's kind of wintry, silvery, icy, cold, you might say. And she is a druid.
Mm-hmm. Total Party Kill super fans will recognize Valente from the Eberron Express adventure, which I think was over a year ago, or maybe even more, depending on when this releases. So it's been a while since we've seen Valente. And last, but certainly not least, my favorite Scottish person, he's also running the stream. It's James Thompson. Hi, James.
Hello. Now you say that, the stream will go down. It will be my fault. I am playing Nyasa Nightweaver, who is a high elf rogue. She is an ex-assassin, but still 100% lone wolf, except when she works with other people.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, adventurers, you all find yourselves hanging out in the reading room, which is not an uncommon place to find yourselves in when you're spending time in Candlekeep between adventures. Some of you may be studying more studiously than others. Some of you may just be resting for your next meal at the tavern across the Court of Air from where you are. I'll leave that up to you, what types of topics you might be perusing on your downtime. Valente, I think we're going to start with you. You've been flipping through a book. It's a kind of a fancy looking book that you found just sitting on the table of the reading room when you came over and grabbed a seat, and it grabbed your attention here. And this is a kind of fancy, shiny book. It's bound in soft green leather. It's 8 inches wide, 14 inches tall, golden clasp, and it gives off this kind of scent of lilies. Kind of grabbing your attention is right on the cover of the book, in the place where you might normally expect to see like a title or author information. There is a mirror set in a delicate golden frame, which, you know, reflects back at you, your own face, as you look at it. And as you're flipping through the book, enjoying it, the book is filled with these kind of beautiful illustrations of woodland scenes, art and jewelry. There's this delicate handwriting accompanying all the illustrations. Some of it is kind of short prayers and meditations. Some of it is about like kind of seeking self-worth, techniques for kind of self-healing or healing others, and recipes for creating hearty meals, balms, and various cosmetics. So you're just, you know, you're sitting having you know, a nice think about that. Let me just check in with the other adventurers, just because I'm curious. You're sitting in a big room in a library. You may have found a random book that somebody had, you know, left out to be reshelved. You might have requested something from the librarians that they fetched for you. Nyasa Nightweaver, what kind of book might you be reading about?
I think Nyasa has just picked up any random book and mm-hmm. kind of, it's probably upside down, but she's kind of flicking through it. Mm-hmm. And staring across the room at Valenti with, I would say, a degree of suspicion.
Mm-hmm. You were hoping to get a book with more pictures, and you did not get.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest. Nyasa is not the smartest, so most of the books are wasted on her. But she has been kind of hiding out here and pretending to be a researcher, mostly successfully.
Jasper, what kind of books would you be reading in your downtime?
I think, you know, I'm super into learning more about healing people. I am a monk who, rather than taking the brewer's route, although I do dabble, I've really leaned into medicine. And so I'd be looking at books on herbalism and healing, and seeing how they could apply to, you know, both of those areas of interest.
Nice. Townley?
I think I was looking for stories about the Queen of Air and Darkness.
That was my guess.
So I'm reading a compilation of old folk songs about her, which are mostly about mortals falling in love with her and coming to bad ends. And I'm just laughing at those poor fools who aren't really beloved by her like I am.
Amazing.
Give me 1 second. I want to plant a seed for a later adventure.
Okay.
Let's see here. You do find what's very interesting, Townley, at least one of the stories in your compilations mentions another book about that seems related to the Queen of Air and Darkness that you're very interested in. They refer to a book called The Scrivener's Tale, which maybe we'll visit in 9 levels.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Sort of heavy-handed foreshadowing.
For a year's
spooky
time.
Yeah. Lone Walker, what about you?
So Lone Walker, in his last adventure, not only made some new friends, but had the absolute honor as a paladin of getting to give nicknames to his friends. And one of his friends is a spell strummer. And so he actually sort of a bard is kind of the complete opposite of who Lone Walker is. And so he's very fascinated with bards. And so he has a stack of books, but the one that he has in his hand, he's actually chuckling a little bit while he's reading it, just says The Big Book of Bardic Limericks. And he's just going through that and just having a little laugh.
Somebody's going to point to the sign that says, you know, no chuckling in the library.
I have a big book of limericks. I'm not sure any of them can be read on this stream, though.
Oh, dear.
Well, and in fact, Lone Walker, perhaps you're a little bit nervous as an avowed, which is the name of the monks who maintain Candlekeep Library, seems to kind of approach your direction of the reading room. But she passes right by you without incident and heads over for Valenti. There's kind of this avowed. She's clad in the traditional, very simple purple robes, perhaps tied by a white cord. This looks like kind of a middle-aged half-elf, which means they're older than humans, I believe. And she kind of stops by your table and kind of non-verbally tries to get your attention.
I keep looking at the front of the book and gazing in the mirror because I am a little bit vain. I like to see my visage in a book. It gives me great honor. So it takes her a little while, but eventually...
Yeah, she has to do like a fake cough.
Yeah, eventually I'm like, what?
And she's doing kind of a whisper voice because it's a library. I'm ever so sorry to interrupt you there, but I couldn't help but notice that book you're reading. By chance, did a friend of mine, a dwarf, did he lend you that? I'm looking for my friend.
No, I just found this on the table here and it attracted my attention. It's such a beautiful book. And I mean, this cover is quite stunning, I say, as I like see myself in the mirror again.
Yes, it is very stunning. It is my my dear friend and coworker, Falthrax, has been a little fixated on that book. My name is Loris Nis. I am one of the Avowed. But yes, I was concerned about, I'm looking for my friend, Falthrax Loder. And that was his book. I'm surprised to see you with a book and him not nearby.
Well, I don't know. It was just sitting here when I got here. And so I feel like you can't get mad at me for looking at it. I pulled the book a little bit closer to myself.
I am not mad at you. I'm just concerned about my friend.
Okay.
He missed. I haven't seen him since dinner last night. He wasn't in the dormitories, and he's missed breakfast and lunch. And it's just very, very unlike him. And I'm just he's been a little down recently, and I was just concerned. That's all. But if you haven't seen him, I guess you haven't seen him. Anyone else? Dwarf? Balthrax Loder? Anyone? No.
I'm super unsympathetic and just go back to my book.
I think Lone Walker sort of lifts his head and closes the book and says, could you describe this dwarf?
Yes. Well, he's a dwarf. He's about my age. He's got a nice gray beard. He wears a purple robe like this. She gestures at her robe. And he answers to the name... Falthrax, or Falthrax.
Could you spell that, please?
Yes, I have placed it in the Roll20 chat for you, she says.
yes, the Roll20 chat, which we all have access to here in the library.
Yes.
A magical, enchanted chat that for some reason the the Avowed call. Roll 20 chat.
Well, my Falthrax, he is a worshiper of Soon, the god of beauty, so that he was very interested in this book here and has been, I have not seen him without it in weeks, but maybe if I hang around here, he'll come back. She kind of goes to like do busy work around this. She's like straightening books.
Oh, so just sort of hanging out.
Yeah. She's straightening piles of books that did not need to be straightened. She like pulls a chair out and then like retucks it under the table. She's polishing a desk that looked pretty clean to as far as you were. So she's just puttering about.
Polishing your desk.
Well, dusting? I don't know.
Can I walk over to Valenth? Have you learned anything of use from this book?
Yes, I have this balm, and I start to like list all the ingredients that is going to help me keep my face and my skin healthy for a long time. And so, I think it's going to make a big difference on how I look. I'm really excited about this.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So this is a book of outer beauty.
Yeah, what else is there? I think I probably hear
You know what? I think this is the earliest in a session I've said this. Valenthe gains inspiration. Look, listeners and players, a player didn't even have to ask me.
Should gain inspiration. Tony gains inspiration.
No, don't. No.
No, wait, no. Sorry, let me be clear. Let me be clear.
You have unlocked a dark and treacherous path.
Dungeon Master Tony does not gain inspiration. Tony Sindelar, our friend, gains inspiration.
Okay. All right.
But I apologize. I Micah and Annette, I interrupted your interchange. Please, please continue.
Actually, I heard that another character might be joining us. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's quiet in here, and I hear Valente listing lists of, you know, these ingredients that probably pique my interest. And so I'm just going to, I'm not going to say anything, but I am going to start, like, actively paying attention to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, then we will continue. I will say, I am curious. Are you of the arcane?
Yes, in a sense.
Have you noticed any magical aura on this book?
And I flip to the front cover and I look in the front page and I like get a little glassy eye and I'm like, not really. I'm not noticing anything other than like, look at this cover. It's so beautiful.
As you are looking at the cover, Valente, and it's showing, you know, your own face back at you. But then there's kind of like your face seems to kind of morph and change in the mirror. It's kind of like rotating through character selection in a video game where it's like it's you, but with a different haircut, with fancy glasses, maybe with a different, you know, arrangement of makeup or lipstick. Maybe there's one with like a really dramatic scar across your eye, but then that flips to another one real fast. But then, perhaps unexpected, unless you're somebody who's been listening to Candlekeep Adventures, the book talks to you, Valente. And Lone Walker, you would hear this, as would, I guess, anyone else nearby, but the book is addressing Valente. The book speaks to you. Well met, dearest one. How do you feel today?
I feel quite lovely. Thank you for asking.
My pleasure.
I'm just going to roll like an arcana check.
Yeah, same.
It's like a 19.
Oh, you do yours. I'll talk myself.
From down the table, this has grabbed the attention of Jasper, the Tabaxi monk. Jasper, you feel confident that only a magic book would talk. But I mean, yeah, I think specifically... With a 19, you know that the book is magic as opposed to the book is a monster pretending to be a book or someone is using magic nearby to throw their voice through a book. I think there's a variety of things lingering here in Candlekeep, but you're kind of getting a decent hint of kind of conjuration magic wafting off that book that adventurer is holding in her hands that she is having a very brief conversation with.
I would like to roll also an insight check because my fellow library patron does not seem at all disturbed by the fact that the book is talking to her. And she seems like really into the cover of the book. Is this...
That's just typical.
I don't know. Like, did she seem... normal.
Very judgy.
Is she glassy-eyed?
Like, is she enchanted or charmed or like is something going on?
Give me a quick insight check.
22.
It does not seem like Valente has been magically charmed in any way. This is one of the things where you use insight against another player character. I will say that you know that Valente is not under the effect of the magical spell. It's up to Annette how Valente talks and reacts. But Annette is in full control of Valente. Yes. The librarian, Loris Nis, the half-elf avowed, kind of takes beelines over to the table and just says, did the book talk?
Yeah, it did. It just asked me how I was doing today.
Has it
it's quite polite.
Talked before?
Well, I just started looking at it just like a little while ago. But I mean, is this not one of the most amazing books you've ever seen? I think I want to keep it.
Well, I mean, I think it belongs to my friend Fothrax, but he never mentioned it talking. We do have some procedures that I am need to implement if a book begins talking. She pulls out kind of a heavy phone book shaped like Candlekeep rules and regulations and starts flipping through it. but seems a little bit like it's taken her some time to find out what's going on. So there does seem to be a little bit of a commotion. Some of the kind of more elderly scholars have taken the opportunity to leave this reading room. Townley, Nyasa, you notice that there's something going on kind of down the table from you if you are interested in joining this trouble or fleeing from it. It's up to you.
I would like to glance up and with the latest magic eye power that the Queen of Paradoxes has granted me, cast Detect Magic for free.
Oh, wow. That's great. I wish more characters had that because it annoys me that Detect Magic is like an expensive spell.
Yeah.
So this book is clearly magic. I don't know if it's the book magic. Is it infused with magic? There is magic all throughout this book. And it has some powerful kind of illusory and conjuration magic kind of woven into it.
Cool. I'll walk up.
Mm-hmm. I think Nyasa is still flipping through a book, but keeping an eye on this and just sort of sighs deeply to herself. She doesn't want to get involved, mm-hmm. but she gets up, she walks over, she looks at Valenti and says, "Well, you've not changed, have you?"
Oh, why would I? Because you certainly haven't changed.
Next story.
What is that supposed to mean?
You're just as much of a quiet individual who likes to do things on their own as usual.
Yeah, well, who did I get that from? Mm-hmm. They just glower at each other.
She got that from our father.
Da, da, da. Sisters.
Neat.
And we haven't been writing a Google Doc for the last 2 weeks.
Definitely not.
So you've been pretending not to know each other in a library until now. Valente, I think you're still clutching the book, which has talked to you. Others seem very interested in this book now that it has shown signs of talking and or magic. But I think it's you know, in your possession, which is 9/10 of the law. So, I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
Well, I'm really suspicious of this Loris person who seems to think she might take this book away from me. And it seems valuable in terms of information and probably in money.
Surely the book belongs to the library.
Yeah, but I have a loose definition of ownership.
Mm. Yeah, we kind of share that as a as a trait.
Finally, a Candlekeep adventure where we just put the screws to the librarians. take that one beacon of knowledge and scholarship in the world of Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, we said we wanted to do a heist.
Talk to the book. See what else it says. Ask it its name.
Hello, book. Do you have a name?
I am the price of beauty.
It checks out. It says that on the spine.
It's true. Can I ask you, I think, probably obvious question, but can you tell me what is the price of beauty?
Beauty is many things.
Well, mostly it is me, but such as what?
I can ask how attractive secrets within this book.
Can I ask how attractive Valente is? Like, can you describe yourself?
I think I'm attractive. I'm a high elf, and as an Eladrin, I'm a winter season, so I'm very pale. I have silvery hair, but it's like very shiny, and I wear a lightly furred cape, and my clothing all has like it's white and silvery and has a sheen to it, so I am well dressed. And you may not think I'm beautiful, but I do.
I get a lot of anime music video vibes from Valente.
I think you're dressed very well. It's like you're trying to look like the Queen of Arrow and Darkness.
Oh, God.
I've heard that she is also very beautiful, so I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah, don't say you're prettier than her. It will go badly.
I didn't, so don't put words into my mouth.
That was just advice for Annette, not for...
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving me sisterly advice.
We'll get there.
Could I look at that book? I overheard, and I'm really into... You know, I'm a healer. I use herbs a lot. I heard that list of ingredients that you gave for that cream for your face, and I just kind of like to look through if that's okay.
Sure. Maybe you could help me make some of these.
Yeah. So, like, if I have the ingredients, we can talk about it.
Yeah, that seems smart. So I slide the book over to you.
Okay.
Jasper, so you're looking at the book. Would perception just tell me what you've already told us about the book?
Probably.
Okay.
But you never know.
All right. Well, my perception is pretty high, so let me just... Oh, yeah, never mind. I just want to flip through it and see if anything, like, jumps out at me.
Literally?
Yeah.
Maybe. As... weird or unusual, and I think I'm probably looking for, like, is this a legitimate are the moisturizers in this, like, legit, or is this a scam? Is this, like,
okay.
the $500 Goop beauty version?
Yes. 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 Excellent. I'm going to ask Jasper, if maybe would this be a medicine check, possibly? And I would say that you would probably have advantage on that, given your trainings in history. I don't know if you would already have advantage on that, but it seems like that. And it doesn't seem like it'll be very hard. So give me a DC 10 medicine check as you are flipping through it.
How about a 24?
All right. So you are studying it, and some of it does seem to be kind of outside of your area of expertise in terms of there's some things that are more for, say, confections, or there is some stuff that is prayers specifically to the goddess Sun. But all of the things that seem to be various, very kind of healing balms, and even some of the meditation techniques seem 100% legitimate as far as you can tell. They are consistent. They seem medicinally sound. In some cases, at least one case, maybe kind of even, inspired. I never would have thought of that, but that totally makes sense. And I will say, as you kind of flip to the back, you're getting to it, the very last page, there is an inscription. The author of this book is named Silvari Silversong. And below it, there's kind of in fancy, like a kind of embossed thing, maybe a quote or something. It says, "A mirror is a gateway to happiness, truth, and to accepting ourselves." And then in the bottom corner, in kind of somewhat block lettering, it says, "Property of Falthrax Loader."
Oh. Do any of these names mean anything to me?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
If I was peering over your shoulder, Falthrax would mean something to
me. Yes, that. Sorry, that name does that.
Are you peering over my shoulder?
I am peering over your shoulder, and I say, "Oh, Falthrax, that is the dwarf that our friend is looking for."
Sorry, Jasper, if you were asking about that, yes, you immediately recognize that name. The Silvari Silversong is not a name you recognize, though. So yes, the dwarf that... Loris Nis was looking for owns this book. Loris Nis is just kind of standing there, like, kind of wringing her hands, looking a little uncertain about this.
Loris?
Yes?
I don't know if you knew this, but your friend's name appears here in the book. This book actually belonged to Falthrax. I thought this was a library where books were... borrowed.
Well, yes, but some of the Avowed, we do have our small personal collections. We are big readers here. I think that was his one book that I think he had. It, you know, books are expensive, and usually there's, well, I mean, we live a simple life here, and many of us just have the access to the library. We do not have our own personal books, but I believe Falthrax purchased this book from a traveler a few weeks back. Someone in the tavern.
Nyassa manifests one of her psionic knives, slams it into the table next to the book, and says, "Let's just ask the book where the dwarf is, and we can just all get on with it."
Lorisness says, "Please do not stab the tables."
I think Lone Walker turns and says, "Please be my guest. So that you, if you want to ask the book, you can."
I grab the book, I look into the mirror, and I say, "Where is Falthrax? Just tell me, book."
The book, that you see your reflection in the mirror, Nyassa, but then it seems to kind of rotate through various things, different haircuts, different glasses styles, different even for you, disguises, as if perhaps you could look at different unrecognizable versions of yourself. And seeming to perhaps ignore or not understood your question, the book simply asks you, "Well met, dearest one. How do you feel today?"
Answer it. Engage in conversation.
Well, I think I'm feeling quite stressed. I have just met my sister, who I haven't seen for about 10 years. I think that would count as a major life event. How are you, book?
That does sound stressful. If rest, relaxation, or other forms of self-maintenance are what you need, perhaps Silvari can tend to your needs.
Well, that doesn't sound terrible. Where is this Silvari?
The mirror begins to glow, and then kind of growing from it, there is suddenly a 7-foot-high portal glowing, standing next to the table. The remaining sages and scholars at the far end of the reading room take this moment to leave.
If I have learned anything in my adventures, it's that... when you're offered something by an eldritch being, you should always take it. It always works out great.
Loris Nis takes this moment to say, a portal. Falthrax must have found this and gone through him. Could you go and search for him, please? I have some paperwork to do about this whole talking book situation. I
have questions about face creams and think this might be a shortcut to getting some.
Never
change. I have questions about your paperwork.
Nyassa just strides through the portal. She has no time for any of this. She just wants to get away from Valenthi, and she's just through that portal.
All right, Nyassa has strode through the portal. Jasper, Valenthi, Townley, Lone Walker, and Loris Nis are still standing in the library.
Hopefully,
looks around and then goes to
what
the portal.
What could go wrong?
Valenthi. Sorry, I did the thing where I said all your names and then you all talked at the same time. That's on me. Lone Walker, I think I heard you say something. What would you like to do?
Lone Walker looks around and then strides through the portal.
Jasper?
Yep. I'm curious not to check
curious.
It out.
Curious like a tabaxi. Townley?
Can you describe Falthrax a little more? All you said is a dwarf in a purple robe.
Oh, yes. He's about my age. So his beard has a bit of white in it. He has kind of auburn eyes. He's always smiling, except these last couple of weeks.
Oh, what happened? Why is he not smiling recently?
I don't know. He's just seemed down. Nothing he wanted to talk about.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay, I'll go look for him. And I walk through the portal.
And Valenthi, you are last because I arbitrarily addressed you last. You're standing there in the reading room. It's just Loris Nis looking at the portal kind of expectantly. All of the other sages and scholars have cleared this out. Loris Nis starts taking, like, it seems to be there's some like perforated pages in her guidebook that she's slowly kind of tearing out to start some paperwork. Just you, you're the copy of The Price of Beauty still lying on the table there.
So the book is separate from the portal?
Correct.
I am going to scoop up that book and go through the portal.
And so you do.
Nice, bringing the book. I like it. Mm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like, how am I going to get home? So, the Yay. Portal. You all find yourself somewhere far from Candlekeep, but in, you know, the recognizable world, in that it's not like the sky is not full of nightmares, or, you know, the colors are not inverted. Why would I mention these things? You seem to find yourself on kind of a beautiful woodland path. Seems like you're in somewhere, at least probably just traveled through space and not time, in that it was mid-afternoon in Candlekeep, and it kind of seems like you're middle afternoon wherever you are. Somewhere nearby, there's like a little trickling brook that's just kind of a little babbling away. And there's just kind of a path that seems to kind of go a gentle rise over a hill. The trees are all kind of green and lovely. The sunlight is filtering down through them. There's just like a gentle breeze. It's like one of those perfect kind of late spring, early summer days. Yeah, it's kind of just being here, despite the fact that you traveled through a magic portal, is kind of relaxing.
I just take a moment and close my eyes and take a deep breath.
Was it sort of spring, summer when we left?
I think so. I think wherever you were was not as nice weather as here.
I think Lone Walker's going to roll. Well, Lone Walker's not. I'm going to roll a perception check as I look around. And I don't see much because I rolled a 10.
You know, even with a 10, it's a little strange here. You're just kind of in a clearing, and then the trail leads up and over that hill. So it's not like it's kind of the trail ends where you are, which is a little, little strange. There are some like little stone benches around the clearing, and you notice there's some kind of little kind of at the top of the hill. There's a stone cairn, kind of a little rock formation, I guess, perhaps to help people navigate. It suggests that I'll even tell you with a 10, you know, this path is kind of well kept or well trod, as if, you know, this is not a desolate woodland path. This is perhaps a path that people travel with some frequency.
Is the portal open behind us still? Or
yeah, the portal's open behind you. You see, you know, Candlekeep Library, the reading room that you were in on the other side.
I would also like to look around with my aforementioned magic eyes.
Yep.
Detect magic is still up.
The portal behind you is magic. The rest of the forest is not.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know.
I think I stride forward. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone not wish to follow Lone Walker up over the hill?
I'm going to walk up, and then I'm going to just walk slightly faster so I'm in front of Lone Walker.
And then Lone Walker walks slightly faster, and then you walk slightly faster.
Yeah.
And then you're both jogging up the hill.
Yeah. Running towards this cairn at the top of the hill.
I'm strolling slowly, looking at the nature, and like, ooh. That leaf is amazing. What leaf? That leaf three trees away.
Oh, my Lord.
I imagine Townley is—it's like when you get new glasses and you're like, "Oh wow, trees have leaves; they're not just green blobs. Well, there are bricks on that wall. Wow."
He sees ultraviolet. It's all a whole thing.
Yeah. So Nyasa and Lone Walker, as you kind of reached the crest of the hill, you are looking down, and give me a quick nature or history check to recognize where you are.
Gladly. Okay. These rolls today, I swear.
I rolled a 16.
That's much better than a 4 for nature.
I will tell you, Nyasa, you recognize that you might be in an area several days travel from Candlekeep, known as the High Forest, which is just, you know, it's a kind of ancient and very in tune with nature, uncorrupted, relatively uninterfered with by civilized races, the tranquil area of woodland several days travel from Candlekeep, you know, still on the Sword Coast, but, you know, a good ways inland, and, you know, basically just the forests here are very kind of have a raw beauty to them that has not been like messed up by logging or other, you know, mining and whatnot. But also looking down on you, you see that the trail kind of goes back down this little hill, and there's a big clearing ahead of you, kind of a large open grove, and you see several structures ahead of you. There's a large stone structure with some columns, and it looks like the path leads up to the front door. You can see beyond that structure, there it looks like there's two kind of smaller structures behind it, but that's what you see looking down the hill.
Okay, well, I turn and shout back down the path, I think we're in the high forest. I think it's a drug reference.
Cool.
Oh god.
But there's some buildings down here. I think we should go check them out.
I think Lone Walker just sort of nods.
Jasper, Valente, Townley, how are you feeling?
I say I could tell that. And but I agree to go.
I just roll my eyes and start walking.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. It's just a gentle, short walk down the hill before you arrive at a large stone building. It's got lots of little windows set up kind of high in it with stained glass, big, heavy wooden doors. There's some ivy kind of growing up in various places on the corners. It's got kind of a, you know, temple, library, museum kind of, you know, it does not look like it's a personal residence kind of feel. And it, you know, it looks like the building is probably a decent amount of years old. That's how I'm describing the outside of this structure.
All right.
With a 26 to perception, does anything look weird? Like just normal building?
Just normal building. I mean, it does seem okay. A little strange that you're just like on a path in the woods. There's no road that leads up to this. But yeah, no, I'm nothing concerning with a 26.
What was it that the book said? If you're feeling stressed, what was the part that came next?
I think she mentioned that Silvari could help you out,
and that it was a place of rest
or take care of you.
A place of rest. Got it. Okay, yeah. I think Lone Walker will shout out Silvari, and with his big Goliath voice, it does kind of shake things a little bit.
Echo off the stone edifice back at you.
I just say, yeah. We could have knocked.
This is the same as knocking. Call it a Goliath knock.
Right.
Does anyone respond?
You know what? I think someone does respond. The front doors of the structure kind of peek open, and a young man kind of pokes his head out. And says, aww. Oh, I thought I heard something. Please come in. And he holds, he kind of does the work to open the two double doors and holds one of them open for you. And just waits kind of expectantly in case you want to walk into this big open area in front of him.
He does look like a nice anime boy.
Mm. What is in?
Oh, apologies. He seems to have kind of a strange grasp of common. It's almost, he's got kind of a heavy goblin accent. And that is going to sound like this. Bonjour. welcome to the Temple of the Restful Lily, please. How you say, come in and stay a while. Je m'appelle Seth. My name is Seth.
If there's a goblin accent, I'm just trying to remember what goblins are in terms of their like classification. Are they?
I think they're goblinoids.
Okay. Because I was thinking I can do a free detect evil and good, but I don't know.
I don't know if goblins are.
Yeah, like, I don't think goblins
inherently
count.
Evil. Yeah. I think that. Yeah, I think that I mean, might.
Mike is being
he just,
a bit.
He just
judgy.
Might have a heavy accent. Yeah, wow.
Being a little judgy, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
A judgy paladin? I never heard of such a thing.
Saith kind of waves you in. Saith seems to be standing in the doors of a...
Tony, did Saith ever step out or just peek out?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, we'll say this door is open outward and he had to step out in order to...
Okay, so it's not like a weird...
Right. Suddenly you think everybody's a vampire, Micah.
Lone Walker does walk...
But he's a reverse vampire where he can't leave his house.
Lone Walker does walk up to Saith and holds out his hand for a handshake, but in doing so is actually doing a perception check. Mm-hmm. I'm literally holding a D20 in my hand, and I said I was going to roll this instead of using D&D Beyond to do it, and I forgot. And so I got a terrible roll once again.
So you shake hands with Saith. He seems to... very enthusiastic to shake hands with you, Lone Walker. Please come in, stay a while, rest your feet. You must be tired from your travels. We can take care of you here at the Temple of the Restful Lily.
I walk in, but over my shoulder I say, the travels were just over that hill. You get that, right?
If you say so.
Hang on. Do you not know about the portal?
I do not know the details of your travel arrangements.
All right. I walk inside.
I say, before we go in, noting Townley striding purposefully down the hall.
Everyone's got to stride more purposely than the person ahead of them.
I have a certain power, shall we say, that I can link my mind to you so that we can know each other's thoughts. And I think
to Saith or to someone else?
It would be useful. No, I don't. I'm kind of like... talking away from Saith. He can't hear this. I think it might be useful if we did this just in case anything happens.
If we get separated.
That's what I was thinking.
Do you want a mind link to your sister that you're super not friends with?
Well, this is my dilemma because I can link to three people and we have four other people. So the thing is, like, I have linked to Townley before in one of our previous adventures together, and it was pretty trippy. You know, like, to somebody not used to seeing through magic eyes, it was a bit much. So I kind of...
There's
like,
more Paisley out there than you think, man.
there really was. There really was. So since I would like to hold on to my lunch for the remains of this adventure... I turn to Valanthe and say, shall we try this again?
And I go, fine.
I reach out and sort of touch the side of her head in a semi-affectionate, semi-Vulcan way. And
just get one figure really in the eye there. Yeah.
And then just,
I love you.
And then I need to roll a d8 to see how long that lasts for.
Oh, okay.
And that lasts for 6 hours.
Okay. So I'm gonna assume, is anyone not going to walk into the room that Saith is holding the door open for you?
No, I'm gonna walk in and say in the few goblin words I know, bonjour, merci. As I walk past.
Merci beaucoup. Saith waits for you all to get in, and then he like scampers past you all to get it to run over to his little desk in the middle of this room. So Saith has like a little kind of greeting desk here. There is he's got it's basically just a fancy table. There's like a book, and there's like a fancy ornate price list of services. He's got some lilies in a little vase, and he stands up even straighter as he's now that he's behind his little desk and says, welcome friends to the Restful Lily. Freshen yourselves in our luxurious bathhouse, or perhaps you'd enjoy a massage, a haircut, a shave or pedicure. Oh, road tired feet. Simply cry out for comfort. Whatever your pleasure, we are here to serve. And he hands out some little fancy kind of little placards with the list of the services available at the Temple of the Restful Lily. So it seems like you're at the Temple of the Restful Lily. Entry to the Temple of the Restful Lily costs 5 gold persons per person. Entrance includes the use of the enchanted baths, a complimentary robe, and access to a changing room with a locker. Lodging overnight costs 4 gold gold pieces. Meals cost about 5 silver pieces, depending on what is your interest. And there's a wide variety of things available. You can also get a haircut, a shave, a waxing, massages, manicure, and a pedicure, etc. Massages are the most expensive service at 20 gold pieces.
Whew.
Yeah.
Have any other guests come here lately? I'm curious.
Yes, we have many guests in the enjoying time at the Temple of Rest for Lily. You are among the very best of people, I assure you.
I was meant to meet up with a friend, a small dwarf. He and I were going to, well, match our pedicure nail colors.
Oh,
could I describe him for you?
Does he have a name?
Ah, indeed, a name. Falthrax.
Oh, I do not know this person. Perhaps you arrived before them?
Hmm. Have you seen a dwarf with auburn eyes?
I do not believe so. We have, I believe, some dwarven customers with us today, but none with auburn eyes. This Saith would remember.
Can I do a perception check to see if he is lying?
That would probably be an insight check.
Can I do an insight check to see if
you can lying? Try?
I cannot.
Oh, okay.
I will do that as well.
I rolled a 5.
I'm going to actually use the
D20. 5 minus 1, in fact.
I got a 19.
Saith nice. Did seem a little evasive there, Lone Walker, but you know, hard to know. Saith seems to be kind of a strange lad. Will you be staying with us here? There is kind of, he pulls out from underneath his desk. It looks like basically kind of like a little coin box to collect payment of things.
Can you tell us about the toiletries situation? I want to know that my investment is going to have returns.
You will be well taken care of. We have baths. We have rooms you can stay in. You can book massages. We have calisthenics next door. The lounge is to the east. I assure you, you will be well pampered here at the Temple of the Restful Lily.
Will we be allowed to leave?
Yes. What a strange question.
Can I do an insight check?
may we? I mean, yes. That's sorry.
I have rolled a 25.
He seems legitimately confused by your question.
All right. Just checking.
Nyasa pulls out a inordinately large coin purse, takes out 5 gold pieces and pushes it through the little slot.
All right.
And then takes out another 5 and says, I'll pay for her as well. Pointing to Valenthi.
How much is it to stay?
It is 5 gold pieces to basically right. 5 gold pieces to enter. So think of that as like a day pass. If you want to stay overnight, it is more.
Yeah, let's check out the facilities first before we spend any more money on this.
Mm-hmm.
Lone Walker hands over 5 gold pieces.
Yeah, so do I.
Anyone not want to? Now, Jasper, I know that is a considerable percentage of your net worth, given that you are a monk and a new character.
Yeah. So I pull out my purse and like...
A little cartoon fly flies
half
out.
Half of it. Half of it goes to...
Yeah.
To this entrance fee, and I hope it's worth it. This better be good.
Nyasa just looks over at Valenthi and says, oh, we should get some of those massages. What were they, 20 gold pieces? That sounds good.
I look at Nyasa, and then I pay the 5 gold pieces for Jasper.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Saith shows you there are these little changing rooms at the north side of the lobby here. So they're, each of them is like, you know, like a little alcove with a little folding door. And there are inside each little cubby or not cubby, cubicle. There's like a little wooden stool, and there's a locker that he hands each of you like a numbered key for. And there is in each little room, there are an assortment of fluffy white robes. You know, I think in D&D fantasy world, you've got to accommodate like a wide range of, you know, creature sizes. So they range, like it's like gnome to centaur, so you have to pick out the robe that is going to be the most appropriate and luxurious for you. But say it says, I will give you a bit of time to change, and then you are free to explore the temple. Let me give you some little bit of instructions. The baths are to the north. He points, there's a double doors to the north. The garden and the calisthenics trainings to the west. So there's a door off of the lobby to the west. And the lounge where you can get food and drink or arrange a massage is to the east. So you have gained entrance to the Temple of the Restful Lily. Perhaps this is where Falthrax Loader is, perhaps where he has gone, because it's one of those adventures where you got sucked inside a book, people, / teleported somewhere else. I will tell you, you are going to need to decide what you can carry around with you while you are in a spa wearing fluffy white robes, because I think some of you are probably not going to walk around in full armor with full weaponry. I think that would be gauche, or at the very least attract a lot of attention. Now, some of you that might be less of an issue for if you're, say, a monk, but some of you, if you are a big hulking paladin, that might be. So I'm going to ask you to think carefully about what armor and equipment you are going to be wielding while you are wandering about the temple. You, of course, always have permission to split up to cover more ground if you're so interested. As a reminder, the main kind of features of the Temple of Restful Lily that have been told to you here are the garden calisthenics area, the baths, and the lounge. It seems like you already suspect that there may be more to this temple than it seems. Is there? Or is this just an adventure about a chill vacation? For answers to questions such as that, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.